happiness, what comes to mind? Your family, your friends, sun-kissed memories from your last holiday with sand between your toes? Or what about your job?
Why can't a job just be, like, fun?
These days, elevating the employee well-being is on top of the agendas for most workplaces. This might be caused by the time we had to reflect during the pandemic about what truly made us happy in life and at work. And now we, the employees, crack the typical structures of what happiness at work truly means.
Because when I look at this world and when I interact with people day to day, there are far too many people miserable in their jobs. You know, they're just like, they're just not there. And it might be even you right now. You may be dissatisfied with the current job you currently have.
So, how can we make sure that everyone is happy at work? And how does the happiest employees in the world look like? Thanks for tuning in to Work 3.0, the podcast about our future workplace, where we will dig deep into the trends and give you valuable tips to create the best workdays. My name is Cecil K. Nørgaard, and I'll be your curious host. Today, I've been joined in the studio by a very special guest, Liselotte Jensen, who is CEO at Great Place to Work Denmark. Welcome, Liselotte.
Thank you, Cecil, and thank you for inviting me.
Of course, it's nice to have you here in the studio. And the reason why I asked you to join me today is because we will talk about how to become the happiest employee in the world. Yes, very great matter. Yes. But first of all, I actually was wondering, what makes you happy at work?
Oh, what makes me happy? It makes me happy when I feel a sense of community with my team and when we manage to succeed together. So, and I think that's not very different from most people.
Mm-hmm. I can say myself, it's a little bit different. Of course, mm-hmm. the community feeling is mm-hmm. is also great to have mm-hmm. have that special bond with your coworkers. Mm-hmm. But I also love to get the good feedback and support from my manager, and that my manager trusts in me, so I can be independent when I do my tasks. But also, actually, that I can do flexible hours. Mm-hmm. That also makes me happy. Mm-hmm. But enough about you and me. If we look at the larger we. What actually made us happy 10 years ago?
Yeah, what made us happy 10 years ago, Cecil, is not so different from what makes us happy today. And that's trust. You mentioned it yourself. It's pride in the workplace. And it is also the strong sense of community feeling with employees and with the workplace altogether. So, as I touched upon myself. So, yes. That's from a workplace perspective and according to our data. And of course, might be surprising to some people because a lot of people tend to believe that stuff like work-life balance and purpose have become much more important to us now yeah. than it used to be.
Yeah.
But actually, that's not something that we can see from our data.
Okay, interesting.
So, yes.
Because it has really been buzzing, work-life balance, flexibility and all this. So yeah, say a little bit more about your data then.
Yes, of course. A set of data can only show what has been asked for. So that's an important point, actually. The reason why we are able to say that this has not changed is that, of course, that we have been asking for what people felt for when it came to work-life balance and purpose also ever since we started, actually. So that's the reason why I can say, at least according to our data, there has not been a shift.
Okay, interesting. Now we just established a little bit earlier that the two of us have maybe slightly differences in what makes us happy at work. Mm-hmm. But is it even possible to make everybody happy at the workplace now that we are different?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you're asking that question because actually in Great Place to Work, we insist on making everybody happy. A couple of years ago, we decided that globally, we wanted to investigate if in our global set of data, we could see that if there was something that made some workplaces perform better than others. And one of the most exciting things that we saw from the data was that workplaces that have a consistent high degree of satisfaction among all their employees in the workplace, no matter if they're old or young or have been at the workplace for 10 years or for only 2 months, whether they're Danish or has another ethnic background, they actually outperform their peers. So, so we insist that all employees should be happy.
And it is possible.
It's possible, definitely. I would say it's of course, people are different, as you say. So one of the most important tasks of a manager is to meet the employee exactly where he or she is.
But isn't that a lot of work?
That's a lot of work, but no one has said that it should be easy, right?
True. So, so it's important that the managers meet their employees. Is there something that the employee themselves can do to create a happier workday for themselves as well?
Oh, definitely. As an employee, of course, you should take the opportunities that are given to you from management in the workplace. So you cannot just lean back and fold your arms and say, okay, I'll wait for things to... You should definitely contribute yourself also. But of course, it's up to management to create the frames for the good workplace.
What could an example of the opportunities an employee could walk with?
Some of the companies that we're working with are putting a lot of energy into involving employees in developing the strategy. So, okay. Of course, as an employee, you should grasp that opportunity and go along, contribute, make your opinion heard, speak up and participate.
So it's actually interesting because it's also about the hierarchy within the company that actually the management want to involve the employees and not just sit in their own bubbles evolving these strategies. But it has become more common that management do this or what do you see? Now that you put it up as an example.
I would say perhaps we should take a step back because we haven't really touched upon what generally we believe makes a great workplace and what makes people happy.
Then let's talk a bit about that.
Yeah, and I think in the very beginning I said that there's not been a shift in what basically makes us happy. And it's trust between management and employee and it's pride and it's a sense of community. Mm-hmm. And so trust is a kind of fluffy thing, right?
Yes.
So, but we have a quite firm opinion about what creates trust. And among other things, it's that management should be credible. How do you become credible to your employees? Well, it has to do with such basic factors as being competent at running the business, having a clear strategy, and also being good at coordinating the resources at the workplace. That's one thing. That's the credibility part. Another very important point is the respect dimension of it, as we call it. And respect has to do we know what most people know what respect is, but again, we put some words on it. And a way to show employees respect is actually to involve them in decisions in the workplace. And I think we all know that feeling of, well, it feels good to be involved in what you're spending most of your time at, right?
Yes.
So involvement in employees is a very big issue in the trust part and in the respect part. So yes, involvement is important and a way of showing respect.
Yes. So a little bit more words on that point, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I could also imagine maybe transparency in that trust. Or what do you think?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. One very important part also of what we believe contributes to making a management appear credible, that's that they're both transparent and honest.
Yes.
And that's very
also
important.
When stuff is about to go wrong, maybe.
Exactly. I mean, both when things are positive and when they're not so positive. Transparency and honesty is very, very important. And I think you shouldn't be mistaken that employees very easily sense if management is trying to hide when things get tough. That's just something you can sense. I would go so far as to say that good communication at a workplace is actually the cornerstone of the great workplace.
And it might also be related to the third thing you said about community, that if there's a good communication internally, then you can also get this community feeling.
Yeah. Yes, sure. Trust. I like to think of the way we work with workplaces and our definition of the great workplaces and the three aspects here, trust, pride and community, as a kind of workplace Maslow's pyramid, right?
Yeah.
So
what is in the bottom then?
Yeah. In the bottom is the trust and between management and employees and the three aspects, credibility, respect, and fairness. We haven't touched upon that, but that's also a very important point when building trust between management and employees. People need to feel that things are happening fairly at the workplace, right? So at the bottom of the workplace Maslow's pyramid is trust between management and employees. And then I would say pride and community feeling are more on the top layers.
Okay, so start with the trust.
Start with the trust, yes. Definitely.
Okay. Is these three pillars or elements in the pyramid something that you have seen when you have granted the awards this year of the best places to work or great places to work?
Yeah. Very much indeed. Very much indeed. Perhaps more, we are granting the awards in three size categories. And I would say, especially the two of them have been focusing very much on involvement of employees. And one of them, to the extent that they say, we're 90% management-less or without management, right?
Yeah.
So they've delegated a lot of responsibility to employees, from making the budgets, developing the strategy, recruitment, almost everything, with the exception from when you have to lay off people, right? So very much indeed trust and delegation, and also for the other a larger workplace, they have worked a lot with involving employees in strategy, both development and also implementation, and have been doing games for the employees to really understand what does this mean when we say this and that. And I mean, that's very important, because if you have to act in your everyday work life with some degree of self-management, right? Then you need to know where are the borders. What can I decide for myself, and when do I have to ask? So it's actually very important to understand the strategy. What are we trying to achieve as an organization, and what's my role in achieving these goals? So that's why it's so important.
Yeah, and how was that related to games?
Well, they have been quite creative in doing a soccer game, for instance, and they tied people together and made certain rules to kind of illustrate what it meant.
When they have to decide for themselves and when they have to rely on someone, somebody else.
Definitely, yeah. Okay. And work together as a team and so on.
Yeah, all right. And it's funny you say that about getting rid of the managers, because in a former episode, we actually had this company, Clever, in... in the studio as well, where they also talked about that they had to create a more sustainable workplace. They had also got rid of the managers and also delegated all of the responsibilities out in the team. So it's interesting that this phenomenon is also on the rise in where you also granted the Great Place to Work.
Yes, again, if it's on the rise, or perhaps it is, but I mean, self-management has been a thing for a number of years. But again, of course, more companies go that way. That's possible. An important point, though, is, and I'm a very strong believer, as humans, we definitely like to be able to decide as much as possible for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So what companies that give a lot of freedom to employees to are that they're, or at least my advice is that you should be very clear about values. And again, what are the limits for your freedom, right? And then it's very motivating if you can sit down and you can do what you want when you want to do it, as long as the output is as you would like it. Mm-hmm. I've sometimes thought a little about this and trying to understand for myself, what is it about this that's so wonderful? And then not long ago, my youngest son got his driver's license.
Yeah.
And when I watched him walk out the door going for this car ride with the keys in his hand for the very first time.
On his own,
being able to go wherever he wanted, at which time he wanted, I thought, yes, there's something about that.
Yeah, of course. But I was also wondering if we don't still need this kind of inspiration from a leader and also give some feedback, or having some feedback from a person above us in the hierarchy or something like that, or how do these or this company that had 90% on management free, how do they cope with this issue?
Well, you're right. Everybody would like to get feedback on their work from time to time. And that's something that still exists. So you are having sessions where you are getting feedback.
But is it mostly in teams then?
It's both.
In
teams and individually also. But it's not something that can be totally abandoned. Feedback is important, whether you're on the right track and whether there's something that should be developed and so on.
I was also thinking about also when I have to learn something new and develop, is it myself then who needs to take charge of that journey, or how does that come across with these management free companies?
When it comes to the 90% management free organization, I have a strong feeling that they're deciding in their teams. Is there something here that that we need to develop to improve?
Okay.
I know some of the other workplaces have decided collectively that we simply need to develop our employees while they're at our workplace, also out of respect to the employees. We simply need to keep them updated.
Yes.
On what's going on digitally, solution-wise, and so on.
Mm.
So most of the great workplaces have goals for employee development.
Yeah.
But the employees have a large say in which direction this should be moving,
okay.
Right?
Their own development should move on. Yeah. Yeah, I think there was a stat a couple of years ago from LinkedIn Learning, their annual report, that said that 94% of the people who responded to this said that they wanted to stay longer with a company if they were granted more learning and development opportunities. So that makes sense that it's still a very important thing for companies out there, also for the companies that you've granted with the award.
Mm-hmm. It is.
What was there something else that stood out for these companies?
They do. What's common for them all together is that they do have a very high degree of employee satisfaction, and again, that's why we grant them. That's actually what we do when we hand out the awards or grant the awards are that we do an employee survey at the workplaces, and the employee survey account for 2/3 of the. Of the way they are evaluated with us.
Yeah.
The last part of the evaluation is based on something that we call a culture audit, where we ask the workplaces, well, how do you stand out? What do you do to make people contribute to your innovation? And characteristic of the workplaces that we grant the awards are that they are having high employee satisfaction and within the areas, of course, of trust, pride and community feeling. So that is standing out.
I was also wondering, what about salary? Can't we just get a raise and then our happiness is done? Or what do you think?
I think a salary raise is a quick fix.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's not what makes us happy in the long run, right? That's salary is actually one of the things that I would say they belong at the top. Whereas that's funny, right? Because when you choose a workplace, or sometimes you choose to change your workplace, sometimes people do it to get a higher salary. But we also know that when people leave workplaces, they do it because of poor management, right?
Yeah.
So again, yes, salary is to some extent important, but doesn't work if your manager doesn't treat you nicely, right?
No.
So
there are plenty of factors to it.
Yeah. Or show you respect.
Yeah.
Or care for your work-life balance, or never show appreciation, or then salary doesn't matter that much.
I actually also read a stat that said that a larger paycheck gives a little bit more happiness, but it's only to a certain point. It's only when you hit that $75,000 a year, then it won't really matter hereafter, actually. If you get more numbers on your paycheck, then it's the other stuff that really sets in, but they're still important either way. I maybe here we're getting close to the end. Flip the conversation a bit. Everything we talked about, and ask: is it even necessary that we are happy at work? I mean, are we just too spoiled when we demand to be happy at work? Why is it so important to be happy at work?
Oh, it's very important because we spend so much time at work. So. If we're not happy at work, it has a negative impact on our quality of life in general. So it's very important that we're happy at work and that we do have some energy also when we go home from work and to spend with our family and loved ones. So it's very important.
I would also imagine that, of course, it's important for us as individuals, but maybe also for the companies that they have some happy, engaged employees. Am I right?
Oh, yes. And it definitely is. What we can actually see from our data also is that companies where employees are happy perform very much better than companies where employees are not happy. So, and that's seen from very different point of views. Actually, some people have been looking at the best workplaces at the list in the US and have been following their development and at the stock exchange. Workplaces that were among the best workplaces in the US, they performed 3 times better at the stock exchange in the US than their peers. So it definitely has an impact on business.
Yeah. I would say so as well, with that stock stat in mind.
Definitely.
Yeah. So just to sum up, one, is it possible to make everybody happy, like we talked about earlier? And what should be the main focus to do so?
It's definitely possible to make everybody happy. You need some tricks as a manager, but in general, you should be a credible manager, good at communicating, keeping your people informed, show them respect by showing appreciation, by involving, treating people fairly. And then that will pave the way for the pride in the workplace and the community feeling.
Great. Thank you so much, Liselotte, for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
My name is Sissel K. Nørgaard, and this episode was brought to you by Learning Bank, your next generation learning platform built for today's workforce. Stay tuned for our next episode about the future leader and what skills are most needed to be the best possible leader of tomorrow. Thanks for listening.